If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Oh, yeah, I did it backwards this time. I threw everybody off.
Jewish apocalypse.
It is the Daily Show at number 1050 at 10:56 a.m. on the Beast Coast. We're back. I'm not sure what we're going to do. Oh, that's right. I was going to open up with bantering you about Matthew Cockerill.
Oh, is he saying shit?
No, I was going to check on something I forgot to check on. Now, he has created, on his shadow banned Jew unapproved YouTube channel, he's created a link for you guys to, he's created a stream, and I am, have you emailed him? Have you talked about format?
I was going to do it after the show.
Oh. Yeah, because, like, it's like, nah, like, no, YouTube, fuck you.
I don't care. I'm going to be streaming it to our Odyssey chant, to TRS and to our
Does
Odyssey
he think
channel,
this picture looks good? Wow, what a fucked up looking dude he is. What does he look here? No. This is what we're doing. This guy's a clown. He wants to do a clown show.
Yeah.
I mean, what is his face? He doesn't even look like that.
Dude.
It's like he's trying to look like Vin Diesel, but he's like...
That looks fucking retarded.
He looks like a fucking... So
that looks extremely stupid, that graphic. That's also a bad picture of me, which I'm sure was on purpose. But
yeah, it's fine.
I hate this trend where people have beards and don't trim them.
Well, I just hate all this. I hate this trend of people beards doing this.
I fucking hate beards. I hate these modern faggots that walk around with their homeless guy beard. I'm so masculine. See, you know what men used to do? They used to trim that shit.
Well, you saw how Vouch looked when he trimmed his beard.
Well, I want to stay on point.
He's
like
a cystic monster anyway.
He needs to. I'm going to say that, like, if you're going to have a debate streamed on the YouTube, he has to close down the live chat. There, I don't want.
I don't give a fuck about it. No one's going to watch on his channel.
Well, what I'm looking at is what he wants desperately. He wants outside assistance, and he wants to try to have a clown show because he's a clown. So what he wants is the chat to be filled up.
I'll request it. I would demand it.
There is to be no chat. Like, you don't get outside help. Debate the Holocaust against Mike one-on-one with no tricks.
Well, I can't stop him from having someone PMing him on something.
That is true, but
what you can
stop him from doing is having a chat that is, like, amping him up or talking trash on you and trying to create a distraction so you can't just have the discussion.
Right, like, there's not going to be any audience interaction here, that's for sure. Right, that's something he seemed to want, and I...
That's what he wants, and I say you have to shut down the chat or just no debate.
We can have a chat on our channel, but he can't have one on his channel.
I would say that, if he wanted to have a chat, like, I get to be the only mod, but I'm not going to, like, watch it live. I have better things to do on Saturday.
We can shut it down on Odyssey, too, but on TRS, people will comment. But I'm not going to be looking at any of that shit. I never look at that crap. I don't care. Look,
he thinks he's going to create a blood sports, like, drama stream. And this is how they tend to work, is you have a chat that sort of sways the way
pathetic,
the whole thing is going.
And
of course it's pathetic. It's Matthew
Cockerill.
That
that's what he's wanted to do. For a while, and that's why he keeps trying. I mean, I read last night his back and forth with Thomas Dalton, which, by the way, Dalton, like, fucking crushed him.
Of course.
Like, he was not even any.
I crushed him.
And that basically, yeah, I know, you beat him, too. I mean, that basically, like, he doesn't have anything else in the chamber. Like, he doesn't have any other bullets in his chamber than what he shot out at that debate when Dalton was smart to say, let's do it over text because it prevents this kind of stupid fucking behavior. I would have done that, too, if I had thought of it, but I didn't think of it. But Dalton, even then, there's approaches that he took that I'm not going to take. I have a unique approach that I don't know sure. if Cockrell is going to be able to handle it. He's certainly not going to have much of an answer for it. He doesn't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But I also just, I was going through this whole week his folder of materials, and it's just nothing. I mean, first of all,
it is
the bulk
Holocaust.
Of the documents are in German.
Right.
Some of them I've never had anyone translate these things. Because I could figure out what they were, and I could look them up and find English translations and commentary on them or not. And if I couldn't, I just didn't care. Because I know for a fact that there's no way that these things say what they think, what he thinks that they say, there's always going to be another interpretation. But additionally, I might even just be like, look, if you provided it in German, this was an attempt by you to circumvent my document requirement. And I consider this to be a document not actually provided because you specifically provided. In some documents, he only provided like a file box reference to like a Nuremberg document. I'm sorry, that's not giving me. And the troll there is, LOL, you don't know how to go look up this document yourself. That's not true. I have the entire fucking Nuremberg file set like downloaded on a fucking hard drive somewhere, right? It's like gigabytes of information. But I just don't care. Like, you are doing this because you don't want to follow the actual parameters of the debate. That's what he's doing. So, whatever. I'm debating whether I want to call him on that or not. I probably just should at the top of the thing be like, look, you've been behaving extremely badly. and you should apologize for that. But Dalton was smart, too. He also said, like, because the thing is, in Cockrell's debate with Dalton, the very first sentence of his opening remarks are a shot at me.
That's insane.
And Dalton's opening paragraph is like, I'm hoping that we can do this in a way that doesn't involve like personal insults and side comments. And like you said it very, you know, scholarly way, the way he said that. He's like, I'm hoping we can actually have like a real debate here and not just a bunch of like tendentious personal attacks and shit like that. And I was like, yeah, see, this guy has actual class about this, right? Like, this right. is Cockrell's just a fucking his whole the reason to debate Dalton was to fucking do a call out at me. Because his whole thing is what he wants to do. I actually understand what he's doing. He wants to make me look bad to my audience. He wants the people on Kodo to think I'm an idiot and to talk shit on me. It hasn't worked so far. Generally, people there either don't know me or they like me, and they tell him, you're not going to do well in this debate because you get fucking trounced every time you debate on here.
Yeah. It's almost like I'm shocked that you're willing to like give up a Saturday evening on it. Frankly, like it's, I don't even know if it's
happy
worth
about it.
It,
but it's been hanging, it's been a thing that's been hanging in the background for fucking like 3 years. And what's so funny, I just want people to understand this. So, the Goebbels diary entries that he went to the, I think, the Bad Arlson or some fucking archive in Germany to get, and he couldn't do it because of COVID restrictions. The reason it took him 18 months, so remember this. I said, I want the documents up front, and mm-hmm. it took him 18 months. So him talking about me delaying is utter nonsense. When 2 years, 3 years ago, I simply said, I want you to show me what the documents you're going to use up front.
Right.
And he said, okay. And it took him 18 months to provide it. I had assumed he had given up. I had assumed he was never going to do it. As it turned out, he wanted to get, because his whole plan, upon hearing this is the thing. Stryker was always suspicious. He's like, there's something sneaky about this guy. This guy is not up front. He's a very slimy character. But he's doing something weird. He's got some trick up his sleeve. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what it is. And he's like, why is it taking him so long to do this? What it was, he wanted to go to that doc, because you can't find, now here's the thing, you can't find images of the German, as far as I know, of the Goebbels diaries online anywhere. You can find the German copies of many of the other documents that he got, that he submitted online. You can find those in archives that are available online, Nuremberg, things like that. You can even find some of them on fucking Wikipedia. But he wanted to use those same Goebbels quotes that everybody uses, like where Goebbels said, we're clearing the Jews out. It's a rough process. We don't want to talk about exactly what we're doing. It's not pretty. You know, like he says this in one of his entries, right? So it's very famous. Huh. And I know that's the one he's using because he's using that one with Dalton. And of course, in that one, he just gives the English translation of it. Of course, Dalton, I'm assuming, speaks German because he has his own books where he does German translations of. So Cockrell knows he can.
Oh, hey, Goy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
Speak German, so he doesn't pull this shit with him, right? They just provide it in English. But, there's no reason for him to have gone to Germany to get that. He goes to get the microfilm of the original pages to submit to me because not only are they in German, but they're handwritten German. So I can't like even drop it into a text translator and see what it says. I have to rely on essentially on him to translate it. But I don't really care what his translation is going to be. He'll probably use the most.
What does it matter? Because
it doesn't matter what
there's nothing in those things.
But the point being that he didn't need to take the reason it took him 18 months is because he wanted to go to the archive in Germany and COVID restrictions prevented him.
Right.
He didn't need to do that. There's ample English translations. There's a few different versions. They're available. They're online. They're in books that you can buy in America. You can buy them on Amazon. It's amply available.
Right.
These diaries and these particular entries he's going to use are some of the most famous. You can find them on any. On the Jewish Encyclopedia, Deborah Lipstadt on H. Holocaust Denial on Trial. You can get them anywhere. Mm-hmm. So instead of just giving me that, this dude takes 18 months to fly to Germany, get the microfilm in German, just to like own me on the fact that I don't speak German and I can't read German. That's it.
Well,
he's very interested in we should play the original German. I should open the debate by having the original German, by playing the original German as the intro.
Well,
but yeah.
I mean, by that logic, nobody who doesn't speak German should know anything about the Holocaust. It shouldn't be taught.
Well, yes, that's I said that to him a long time ago, and he had no answer.
Of course, he doesn't have an answer because he's not a very smart person.
I want to know, Cockrell. Before you learned when you went to university and learned German, or maybe you learned it in high school, I don't know. But before, did you believe in the Holocaust before you had learned German?
You know what? I know a guy who speaks really good German. We should ask him about the Holocaust. His name is Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a friend of mine.
I think he'd be appalled at the idea, unfortunately. He's kind of a cop.
I don't think he would believe it. I think he'd be like, this looks like some bullshit. This sounds suspicious. I don't remember anything like that happening. And so, of course, anyway. As usual, like I know it's sort of like giving away the game by talking like this, but there's no surprises really here. Mm. Like he sent the documents and now he's actually one thing that's funny. Looking over the documents over this past week, again, like I'm revisiting it after not looking at it for a while. He has some ideas in his head about the type of arguments I'm going to make, which are just wrong.
Really?
And it's funny. Oh yeah, I'm not necessarily going to detail it because that would kind of give it away.
It's funny because we've done so much content on the subject.
I know, but there are some classic arguments that deniers make. He even seems to have some material that indicates he's invested in the revisionist versus denier.
Who cares about that? That's just like.
Well, the problem is that revisionists care about it. This is something I disagree with them on. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're deniers. I deny this happened. I'm a Holocaust denier. I'm not going to get like baited into this bullshit. Like, yes, I'm not going to sue you. It's like suing someone for calling you racist. Like, right. No, I'm a racist. I'm a Holocaust denier. I don't fucking care. Like, it doesn't, like, I'm, these words don't, you know what? Like, if you call me that, like, it doesn't bother me.
How does he, like, not see that, like, because, like, I see this with the Disney A-log people and the people that are watching pop culture stuff where they will balk at being racist or bigoted in any way. It's like, nigga, come on, the reason you don't like whatever this film
is. Yeah, the reason you don't like The Little Mermaid is because she's black.
They changed her black, or in another thing, they made a woman into something else. Like, you're a bigot, and you don't want to see gay shit, you don't want to see brown shit, you don't want to see girl power shit. No, but everybody, it's like, yeah, you're a bigot. It's like, they're going to call you a bigot, and to try to do this thing where, like, I'm going to self-empower myself by not falling for your accusations. Like, no, like, the answer is to not care what their accusations are, because they're your enemy.
Right.
The
denier, the revisionist community insisting on being called revisionists and not deniers reminds me so much of people insisting on not being called racist. So that one, I think it's like, whatever, that's kind of a gimme. He might have understood that I was going to do that, but it's very funny because there's material in there that indicates that he seems to want to have a fight over that. And I'll be like, yeah, no, I deny it happened. Like, yeah, next question, like, whatever. Like, that's why I'm here, right?
Right.
And so I don't really care about this. And I think one of the reasons is because a lot of the revisionists are sort of conservative in their mentality. Many of them are academics, and they don't like these labels, and they want to be taken seriously. And I'm like, look, Carlo Montano is a far more serious historian than any of the fucking people that claim this stupid hoax happened.
Right.
And even if you disagree with his books, I mean, if you look at the behavior of the Holocaust controversies bloggers, Montano doesn't attack these people personally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, no, there's nothing but invective for him, like, personally. I mean, his books are so much better researched than yours. Now, some of them are so dry, it makes my eyes bleed. Mm-hmm. Like, looking at, like, I was trying to read his Einsatzgruppen book, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm going into, like, brain stasis. This is so dry. But, like, you know, it's necessary for somebody to do that work. It has to be done, and he's doing it. But his opponents are just like, yeah, this guy's a fucking moron. I'm like, I don't see how you say that.
Because, well, you have nothing else but your social proofs, right? Like, because there's
right,
a group.
Yeah,
you think there's a crowd of people behind you that are like, yeah, he's a moron. And so that's the end of the discussion. It's like, why do you bother?
Right.
You're better off just not having the discussion.
Cockrell seems to be from the Holocaust controversy school, where it's like, we're going to do novelty Holocaust affirming because we, or Holocaust fantasism or Holocaust fabulism because we, you know, we don't, we're not, we, they actually think that the funny thing is he doesn't seem to respect the mainstream narrative at all because there's no eyewitness testimony in his folder. He doesn't include the Kurt Gerstein report, which is the entire basis for the idea that there was gassing going on in Treblinka. None of this stuff is there. So it's like, all right, you obviously are acknowledging that there's like problems with this shit, you know, by not including it. So I don't know. Yeah. It's just very funny.
It's all boring and gay.
But reading, yeah, I got to read one thing though. So if I can find his Substack. Okay. This is very funny. I'm just going to read something from his opening statement against Thomas Dahl. It'll give you kind of an indication of what's going on here. So he says he does the whole thing of Holocaust is in three parts. So I'm like, yeah, the thing of a Jew's getting shot, like no one denies Jews got shot. So who fucking cares, right? But he says this. He says documentary evidence shows Einsatzgruppen and other killing squads in the USSR targeted Jewish civilians and killed the overwhelming majority of them in the regions they occupied. Consider, for example, the nation of Lithuania, which had been annexed to the USSR under Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. On 15 October 1941, just a few months after the Germans had conquered the country, Franz Stalaker, commander of Einsatzgruppen A, reported that 71,000 Lithuanian Jews out of a pre-war population of 160,000 had been liquidated. In November of 1941, most of the surviving Lithuanian Jews whom the Germans had concentrated in Vilna, Kovno, Siloy, and Svenkoni's ghettos were also murdered. Okay, he doesn't actually provide any documentation of that. I mean, he says this. By 1st December 1941, the SD Einsatzkommando III, Karl Jaeger, reported that Einsatzgruppen A had killed all Jews in Lithuania except working Jews and their families. And then he provides a quote from Karl Jaeger. This is really funny. I can confirm today that Einsatzkommando III has achieved the goal of solving the Jewish question the Jewish problem in Lithuania. There are no more Jewish in Lithuania apart from working Jews and their families. I wanted to eliminate the working Jews and their families as well, but the civil administration and the Wehrmacht attacked me most sharply and issued a prohibition against having these Jews and their families shot. So
Wait, so is there coded language there? Like, what is this? Is this intentionalism versus, like, what's going on here? It's like, it's unintentionalism. It's like, okay, there's so much.
First of all, there's no coded language.
Right. No, I know. I'm making jokes.
Okay.
I'm doing jokes.
So the other, yeah, that's the thing. The other thing is, this is obviously a hard disproof of the idea that they had a program to kill every Jew.
Yeah, really.
When he says, we've killed the Jews except the working Jews and their family, he's talking about we killed partisans.
Yeah.
We killed fighters. They killed Jews that were fighting them, or the commissars, right?
Right.
So what are you talking about? And this is in his opening statement.
It's mind-blowing.
And there's something wrong with this guy. Like, he thinks this proves his case. It's like, is there something wrong with
it? It disproves your case completely. It disproves your Culp case. Because by talking about that, you've already just conceded, like, yeah, gas chambers, that's probably bullshit. I got nothing on that. But let's move on to this other thing that, like, is even murkier.
Now, there's a lot of weird shit with Carl Jaeger, and there's something called the Jaeger Report. It's very complicated. You can read hundreds of pages about it in Matanya's Einsatz Group book if you want. Let's assume Carl Jaeger actually said this. It's totally out of character with everything else he said, but let's assume he said it. I'm not even going to deny that he said this. So Carl Jaeger, he's like a fucking Fed poster. He wants to yeet every fucking Jew, and the government comes in and like, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Basically, so, like, okay, so I don't.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption, not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Don't deny that there are probably some extreme Fed posters among the ranks of the Nazis.
They're talking about
the literally enemy. Wanted to yeet every fucking Jew.
I always thought Carl Jaeger was just a guy who liked licorice-flavored alcohol.
Oh, that goes further back. He probably did. He probably loved it.
Y'all just talk about Jaeger. I'm actually kind of almost in the mood for that, but it's the wrong season.
Yeah.
It's supposed to.
I'll bet you Carl Jaeger probably wanted to slam Jaeger while shooting Jews. I mean, look, it's a German tradition. But, like, you know, he's like one shot of Jaeger for every Jew dead. Like, let's go.
It's just not the Holocaust, my friend. That's not the Holocaust.
It's just not like people getting gas and their bodies disappearing. It's basically men doing a very awful and dirty job, nonetheless not like murdering civilians.
It's called a war.
That's what we have. Yeah,
I mean, there was a war. Like,
it's a war, and Jews were not neutral in the war. Jews were not neutral.
Well, that's the only thing that this rests on is like you have to pretend that like the Jews were a special case that they're not. They're just
were
there
in the middle
like,
and just murdered for no reason. No,
like no,
they're active fighters. Active
you're supposed
resistance.
To kill. You're not only supposed to kill goys. No, they probably actually believe that, but it's just like fuck off.
Well, they killed their enemies. I mean, look, in the end, they have like some Nazi documents about like total number of Jews that they shot in those territories, and it's something like 300,000 or something like that. There's a Himmler letter. 360,000 or something. I'm like, all right. I mean, look, I believe it, but I mean, maybe I believe it. I don't know. We'd have to like examine the document, whatever. But I'm not competent. I'll admit, I'm not competent to do that kind of document analysis. But I'll say off the top, like, let's say that's right. So what?
Yeah.
How many Germans
it's
were
basically
like, four
so
and a half million German soldiers were killed in the war, and 4 million some plus German civilians were killed. What do you want? 360,000 Jews got killed. They got off fucking light.
Boo fucking who?
They got off light.
They
like,
were,
look at what happened to other people.
They recognized...
I mean, come on, like Anthony said, let's cry about the other 56 million people killed.
Right, exactly. And they recognized these are the people that they were mostly at war with. These were the people in their country. I mean, where did Weimar come from? Where did all their gay fucking tranny, like
who was
fucking
controlling
animal
the Soviet Union? Who were the fucking ideological... guys that were like making all those poor Russian dudes go and fight for shit they didn't like or understand. Yeah. It was Jews.
Right.
So yeah, no, it's like Jews got shot. Yeah, cry me a fucking river, bro. Like, that's not the Holocaust. The Holocaust is little kids getting shoved in ovens and burned up, and that never fucking happened.
No. The Holocaust, according to Elie Wiesel and a lot of sources, was people being shoved directly into ovens and flames shooting out of the chimneys.
That's the story they had to back off on. Auschwitz, he has three paragraphs here, which is about as much as he submitted to me. His Auschwitz folder is the most, which is so funny, is in proportion to how famous the part of the Holocaust is. is the directly inverse of the proportion of things he provided me.
Right.
So the thing everyone knows about the Holocaust is Auschwitz. Well, the thing everyone knows about the Holocaust is gassing and ovens.
The more famous a part of the Holocaust is, the more it's been debunked. That's the other thing.
And that's why the less stuff he has. And hilariously, in his folder for Auschwitz, he actually just dumps Grandma Rudolph's whole book in there. I guess he wants to pull something out of it. I'm like, all right, well, if that's in there, that's open season. And every fucking argument in Chemistry of Auschwitz, every argument, because he doesn't just stick to chemistry. It's like it covers everything. Yeah. It's like 500 pages. It totally blows the entire Auschwitz myth out of the water. You can't possibly read that book and think that Jews were gassed in Auschwitz.
But you can say that, like, I dropped out of my chemistry program, so I'm more qualified to read this book than you are.
You're not more qualified than Grandma Rudolph, though. And additionally, you know, even Miles Power had to just, like, pretend, like, you not even address the book and just pretend like he'd done it. It's nonsense.
Yep.
It's like saying, bad. Like, oh, there wouldn't have even been Prussian blue in those things. Like, he does, it's like, yeah, well, see, the problem is he writes a 36-page chapter explaining why there would have been, and you don't counter any of it.
Right.
You didn't address any of it. You just stepped over it. So then obviously you couldn't. That's the only thing I can conclude. You couldn't counter his arguments. That's the only thing I can come up with. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, this is good. This is great. Actually, we should read this. Let me now turn to the third stage of mass killing, gassing in Auschwitz-Birkenau. There's overwhelming testimonial and documentary evidence that Auschwitz was an extermination camp.
Mm.
The 2nd September 1942 edition of SS physician Johann Kramer's diary, for instance, describes a special action at Auschwitz and remarks that in comparison, Dante's Inferno seems almost a comedy, concluding that Auschwitz is justly called an extermination camp. Well, here's the thing. He sent that to me, and there's actually, since it's Auschwitz and it's famous, it's an English translation. The very first sentence of that document, Johann Kramer says, today I witnessed a demonstration of using Zyklon B to combat lice.
Huh. So are they exterminating lice, or is there extermination camp?
Yeah, it's a lice extermination camp. I mean, literally, it says, here it is. He's got the same link. It says, it's a different link than he provided me. What's the day? What's the day? He's quoting here, 2nd September. So we'll go to 2nd September.
Oh, boy.
It says, he doesn't have the whole thing here. This is a clipped section.
Oh, he's good at that. He likes the clipped sections. That's the problem with testimony.
This is a clipped section. He doesn't provide, for me, he actually showed the whole thing. So he actually, but it's very funny when you read it. And one of the things he says, like, I attended a special action at the women's camp in Auschwitz-Birkenau. And he says, so-and-so correctly called this, like, the anus mundi, meaning, like, the butthole of the world.
I mean, you've got a bunch of Jews gathered up on swampy land. Yeah, I would concur.
Yeah.
You leave swamp creature out of this.
Oh, yeah. Swampy.
Yeah. So then that in the memo doesn't prove what he thinks it does. Anyway, concerning evidence for gas chambers specifically, at Auschwitz, consider, for instance, Leichenkeller 1, Corpse Cellar 1, and Crematorium 2, a homicidal gas chambers, which deniers have frequently alleged was merely a morgue. Well, that's what it says. Corpse Cellar means morgue. And Jean-Claude Prissac demonstrated...
No, that's the basement where you make the corpses. What are you, stupid? It's a Corpse Cellar is where you turn people into corpses.
In Auschwitz, technique and operation of the gas chambers, 1989, and in the Crematorium von Auschwitz... No, I guess actually what's funny is this is actually just a reissue of the same book, I think, anyway, orders for a gas tight door and hydrogen cyanide detectors were placed for Leichenkeller 1. These features are completely nonsensical for a morgue. Moreover, the room next to Leichenkeller 1 was described in contemporaneous German documents as an undressing room, something that perfectly corroborates the eyewitness testimony about undressing before gassing, but is an incoherent description of a morgue. A reference to an intended introduction of preheating equipment and processes for Lycan Keller One also discredits the idea that this was a morgue.
Wouldn't you just like
coup de grace is?
Can you undress the bodies? You don't burn clothing with the bodies, do you? Am I just way out of
coup de grace is SS Hauptsturmfuhrer Bischoff's 29th January 1943 reference to Lycan Keller One as a gassing cellar. Well, it's so funny about this. I mean, I've been through all this stuff. This is easy stuff. First of all, you have out of that probably thousands of documents, many blueprints that are existing, weren't burned or destroyed, just references to these as morgues.
Right.
Okay, you have one reference to one of the rooms as an undressing room. Well, first of all, I could see why you would have something called an undressing room in a morgue. You have to take the clothes off the bodies. But secondly, it's entirely possible, and Jean-Claude Prissac himself says it, that you would delouse dead bodies. That you would do this.
Oh, I thought it was muted. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, fucking it's entirely possible.
No, I thought I was muted because I was fucking around with my pipe.
I'm delousing
my body.
Bodies, Icon. This is body gas. Yeah. Body gas. So yeah, there's actually funny. Prissac himself actually says the gassing cellar label is not all that incriminating in his book. He actually gives the argument.
Got the wine cellar, the gassing cellar.
It's just
and it's also like okay. Yeah. I mean, none of that. Like the other thing is, you know, Matthew, that this shit has been worked over and over and over. And he says, despite denier rhetoric, the holes in the Holocaust, induction holes to accommodate the dropping of Zyklon B pellets into the gas chambers via wire mesh columns have been identified in the ruins of Prima 2 by independent.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Investigators. Oh, yeah, really? Independent of what?
Right.
Right. Let's look at these investigators. Let's see how independent they are.
Do they line up?
A different version of this one.
Do the holes the investigators found line up with where like the ballpoint pen dots on that one photograph were placed to like pretend there were holes there? Because I remember that too.
Right. Right. Okay.
So almost 6 foot wide holes.
He sent me a different version of the same. Hold on.
This sucks. I'm bored now. These things are so debunked.
Let me just finish. Sorry.
No, I don't mean you. I mean him. Like continuing to argue like these. It's like we have to debunk these again.
Yeah, so I'll just say this. He says they found the holes. Disturbances reflecting the existences of such holes are visible in Allied aerial photographs of Crema 2 taken by reconnaissance pilots in 1944.
My ballpoint pen.
All categories of evidence, material, documentary, and testimonial runs at the same direction, establishing the existence. No. It doesn't establish it beyond any reasonable doubt at all.
Most of it's laughably fake.
What's funny is you can look at the Allied aerial photograph and the dots that are supposed to be the induction holes are like at scale would have been like 6x6 or like 8x8 when these are supposed to have been like 10-inch square holes. Additionally, if you look at those dots in comparison with what you can look, you look at the roof of the crematory, you can see the windows, right? Because they had those pop-up windows along the roof.
Yep.
The holes are like twice as big.
Yep.
As those little nestled windows. I don't know what you call them. You know what I'm talking about. Like the kind of windows that pop up on the roof.
Yep.
The holes are like twice as big as that. How do you explain that?
You don't.
The only reason you can explain is that somebody went in.
Well, what you do is you call you and like you call you. What you do is you call you stupid. You say that no serious historian disputes this, and you just point to like a dumb movie made by.
And additionally, the identification of the hole in the roof that this study found is exactly the one you already know and we've already looked at where the rebar is just bent backwards.
Right. I've seen those too.
Where there would have been rebar across the hole.
Yep.
And it's bent backwards. Meaning the rebar was there, meaning concrete was there.
Yep.
So
it's all made up. It's hard
it's
to handle.
Stupid. I mean, the idea that these were actually, it's just fucking retarded. And that's it. That's it. That's what he's got. That's what he's got.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why his channel on YouTube is shadow banned. He has like 300 subscribers. It's not going to be widely available. He's probably demonetized too. But I can't do.
I'm sure.
It's
I'm
just.
Sure. Well, the thing is, I wonder what he's going to do after this debate because it
claim,
seems
he's going to go on Twitter and scream about how he won.
But the thing is, once he does this, what is his? Because his whole attempt at claim to fame is that, like, I won't debate him. But that's obviously not true. Once this debate happens,
he might still pull out of it because you haven't emailed him yet.
He's not gonna pull out of it.
You don't think so? I mean, well, you hadn't kind of, so I just made other plans. I had more important things to do. I don't know.
No, he's not gonna pull out of it. He's not pull out of it. I just want to know what time he wants to do it. I don't really get. Well, I don't want it to be like an inconvenient time.
Well,
his
YouTube
too early in the morning.
No, his YouTube channel says 7 p.m. I'm like, fuck you. Like 7 p.m. on a
fuck
Saturday.
Fuck that. Nah, we'll do. I'm thinking more like 3.
Yeah.
I was thinking even like noon. I want to get this out of the way. I'm not doing 7. Fuck that. Hell no.
Yeah. That's what his
link
says.
He probably sent me an email. See, I don't check my email. This is the other thing. I don't like email. It's one of my least favorite forms of communication. And there's no reason, like the people I want to talk to, I just text on various on various internet platforms.
Right.
I just use Telegram or maybe some other apps to text the people I actually want to talk to. Email is like the worst way. I don't check my email. I hate email. There's never anything good in email. It's always just spam and bullshit.
Including
and
Matthew
actually,
Cockerell messages.
Quite well,
yeah,
like
what,
not,
what Mike does is he sends you photos of his bloody flesh wounds.
Yes.
Ew.
What
Alex sends me photos of what was that? Ozzy Osbourne? I just got in my text while we were talking.
Yeah, you actually
that's a good
can't
meme, though.
See
that's a really good meme.
Here because it's,
it's an excellent meme.
But I'll just say, yeah, I don't use email because I hate it. So, and it also, I found that by not using email for years now, just not using it as a form, like, I haven't suffered.
Right.
All I've done is like, if I open my email occasionally, it's just like nothing but fucking spam. And occasionally if I need to pay a bill or something, but I don't even need to do that because I remember when my bills are due and I have all the websites and passwords saved. So I just go and pay them every month and that's fine. So you really don't need email for shit. You really don't need it. It's the outdated technology.
Email sucks. Email is like you bought something and now like every day the company like sends you three emails.
It's just spam. It's endless
spam.
It's awful. So I just don't use it as a method.
It really is.
But you can just mark that as spam. Like if you just invest time in your email, you can clean it up. If you want.
Oh, I've done that. I've been doing that for years. They've found a way around it. But it doesn't matter. Like I don't care about it. Like it's just not a good, it's not a good method of communication. I just don't
use it. Embrace email.
Nah, fuck email.
I like email.
Fine. I'd rather just have letters than email.
I like communicating.
I should have insisted that Cockerell and I organize this through snail mail. That would have been pretty
Oh,
funny.
That would be awesome. We could still do that.
Yeah. Send me a letter.
Also, I like the older forum structures, too. Like the older style, almost like a BBS board. I like that shit.
Yeah, like the
that
PHP stuff. 3.
That was good stuff, yeah. That
kind of shit.
PHP BB. Yeah, those are okay, too. That's fine. I just don't like email. I've never liked email. I've always hated it.
It's really cool to be in a setting where there's no upvotes or downvotes, where you just have to like genuinely engage with people.
Yes, I think that if we ever take over, we will make a law against follower counts and thumbs up and thumbs down. Every like literally, if you want to create radical equality amongst internet accounts, no follower counts, no upvotes or downvotes.
Hmm.
And you don't give people any metrics or analytics from which they can discover their own follower accounts because they would just start posting it and bragging about it if you did give them. So no metrics, no stats. You just put your messages out there and see if people like it.
No metrics here are made.
Yeah, no metrics here are made. You know, part of the whole problem with social media is the metrics. I mean, this is a very basic thing. Like, just get rid of follower accounts and upvotes and downvotes, and that's it. YouTube did was get rid of downvotes. Like, if you're going to have upvotes, you have to have downvotes. Otherwise, oh, fuck. It's like, you should get rid of all votes.
Do you notice what today's date is? It's our annual fucking TRS holiday.
Oven right now is at 616 degrees.
Oh, it is 616. All right. Well, enough about...
Well, speaking of that, what fucking day is Juneteenth? I never can remember this because it's a nigger holiday. The 19th?
Okay. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the 19th, yeah. We're not taking it off.
Nigteenth.
I think it's a federal holiday.
Call it the Nigteenth holiday.
Nigteenth, yeah. June Nigteenth.
I thought it was on the weekend. Am I wrong? I guess I'm wrong. So Monday is Juneteenth? I didn't know that. Day after Father's Day.
Day is a nigger holiday, though.
It's true. It's true.
Every day.
Well, Juneteenth is a nigger holiday where all, like, the white people have to, like, acknowledge it. Kind of like MLK Day. Not just, like, you know... It's not a day. It's not a normal day where they just get free shit and get to rape and murder and steal from
Martin Luther King Day. You mean Confederate Memorial Day?
I mean,
yeah. So this year it's Monday. I saw this really dumb article in the New York Times this morning about Juneteenth by some black woman who was saying like, yeah, no, it's not a coincidence.
Juneteenth, bad article. Black woman wrote it.
Yeah.
Should tell her just take the fucking day off. Don't write about it. Hey, it's Juneteenth time. Don't write stuff. That's a good idea. Hey, okay. Every nigger should just not write any dumb articles. Just stop putting stuff out there.
Frankly, most days black people don't write anything or read anything.
True. Right.
I mean, this isn't even written for black people to read. It says this: Juneteenth is different out west, by Tia Miles. I only read the first few paragraphs of this before I knew that this was fucking dumb. So I want to read this a little bit of this. So. It's been 2 years since Juneteenth became a federal holiday, one we can celebrate together as a nation. The signing of the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act into law in 2021 was an expression of real progress in the collective understanding of black struggle that reinforced our national ideas of liberty and dignity. But I confess my ambivalence. So she's doing like a novelty take on Juneteenth, right? Because they always do this. When they get their way, they then do like a novelty take about how now it's not like as special as it used to be. I am worried about what official national recognition might do to what has always been a community-based holiday. No, it hasn't. Black people don't know what Juneteenth is, and they never did. More like white people knew what Juneteenth is. Like, I knew what Juneteenth was because I used to listen to, like, fucking WBAI 99.5, like, communist radio in New York.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription. And then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
City for anti-war news like 25 years ago. And so we talk about Juneteenth, and I didn't know what it was before that, and only like educated, like extremely libtarded white people knew about it. Like niggers had no idea what it was, and I always thought that was kind of funny.
Juneteenth.
Because my own memories of Juneteenth, like so many others, are distinctly local. They are rooted in a sense of place. No, this is a lie. This is all made up. This is faker than the Holocaust almost. When I was young, that place was Eden Park, high on the hills along the Ohio River in Cincinnati, where I would spend the day contentedly with my mother, not your father.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a cheap shot.
It's totally valid. It's completely valid. I mean,
yeah, where was your dad? He wasn't there, right? And the many other families who attended years later, after I formed a family of my own with my spouse, who is not black or Midwestern.
Interesting.
But get this, but Native American from Montana. I guarantee you your husband's fucking white.
Yeah, white as fuck.
I guarantee you her husband is fucking white. Discovering where Juneteenth events were held, who organized them, and who turned out was like holding a black light to the invisible inked map of the present and past African American community. When we moved to Ann, so it's like Nick Fuentes in the basement looking for
like black what?
Yeah, when I think about invisible ink, I mean, let's not press forward on that.
Yeah, when you say black light, people think you're looking for body fluid.
My body. Body fluid. I'm looking for body gas.
I'm hunting for body fluid.
I'm gassing.
I'm hunting your body fluid.
When we moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to start jobs at the university there, we kept an eye out for the flyers popping up on market bulletin boards and wooden street posts. Following these notices like a marked trail, we wound up at a park in a neighborhood near the Huron River and railroad tracks. The celebration we found there was small and free of charge, with clusters of families gathered to cook out, listen to music on boomboxes, and enjoy the summer day outdoors. We felt welcome and accepted.
Notice more than one boombox, so we have competing nigger beats all over the place. just one, how it always
why
is.
Why not just one? Because that way, everyone, it's not cacophonous, right? You don't have this discordant,
it's just this horrible
sound of just multiple different,
this horrible environment like that you people like, want to get
very
away
avant-garde.
From.
It's like multiple boomboxes, you get like offbeat, like you get like, but it just sounds like a mess.
You get like, that's how you get like, you know, uneven intervals between your smoke alarm chirps. Just like everyone has their own. It's like, tick, tick. You know, just
if you want to, like kind of sync your nigger beats to the chirping so it doesn't chirp off beat. Although now there's like an off avant garde form of it where like the chirp is off beat. It's called the off beat style. And like, you know, the chirp, you chirp off beat rather than on beat. It's like a very like new kind of thing. Anyway, the location of this small event, it turned out, was an old black neighborhood. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, but I just don't believe this woman. I mean, I don't want to be an asshole, but, like, I'm going to be, like, I just don't believe you. I think this whole idea of, like, local black Juneteenth celebrations that are going to be now overshadowed by, like, large, big federal celebrations or big municipal celebrations sponsored by city governments or county governments, which are going on now, I don't believe you that these things existed. And if they did, I'll bet you most of the people there were white. And I think if you found like Negro cookouts, they put most of the blacks there. I'm not saying blacks don't cook out because they do. I'm saying you go to a black cookout, particularly say before 2 years ago, and ask them like, you know what Juneteenth is? They would look at you like you had three heads. Black people don't know what Juneteenth is. Juneteenth is a thing. Was a thing for like nerdy.
They look at you like they've never seen a person before.
Yeah, and they'd be like.
That was like the best fucking Ock Nation.
Yeah,
like
you never seen a person before. Yeah.
The right. Dead eye meter stare. My favorite. Anyway.
And then she's got a whole bunch of other crap about how black people live out. I'm like, I just don't care. But this kind of stuff rings. The funny thing about this is this shit rings so false.
Yeah.
You know, it rings so false. Like it's just, and it's so tailored the way they talk about it. Like, the local, special, little community-oriented black celebration. It's basically giving the white libtard the fantasy they wish was true. It's like the white libtard would love to believe that there's these hidden little corners of interesting black history, and there's these black communities that are in touch with their history and celebrating it away from the prying eye of whitey and the government, and they're just following their own little community thing. I mean, it actually much more describes like white nationalists.
Yeah.
Like we have like local events where white people can come and feel welcome and accepted away from the prying eyes of like the larger federal nightmare scenario of our country. And we all feel safe and welcome there. And they're local, they're smaller than average. Although increasingly they're not, they're increasingly like hundreds of people. You know what I mean? It's like, think about like the pool party system, right?
Right.
Before we started NJP. you would have to find, you would actually have to work pretty hard to find out where pool party gatherings were had. But once you showed up, you were welcomed and accepted, and everybody would have a good time. There'd be small local events like barbecues and cookouts or bar meetups and stuff. It actually much more describes actual white nationalism than anything blacks ever did. Very funny. So, yeah. NJP, blacks. Now that there's like, what's funny is there's actually now pool party people who are like, when NJP was formed, I was ambivalent about it. White nationalism for me was a much localized phenomenon. I would have to find my way to the local white nationalist barbecue. Now, Mike and Tony have ruined it by making these large 100-plus person events, hundreds of people events where we all get together. I don't like this. I want to go back to my – I'm joking, of course, but I'm not really joking. Anyway, yeah.
Fuck.
I want a white nationalist just to be like meeting five guys, you know, for beers and burgers. And a hike.
Five guys.
Now
and
these guys are making these big meetings.
Fuck! I want anyway, five. Yeah. I'm starving.
Oh, I didn't mean like five. I meant like five human, like people.
I know.
Five.
Like every time, anytime someone says guys in the number, it's like, oh, what burger is that?
I know. It's just ruined forever.
I know.
Several guys. I mean, several guys.
It's Several Guys Burger Company.
120 guys. Oh, that's ruined too.
Yeah, I don't eat that burger. Nobody wants to.
Went from, oh God, oh.
That's not what you want to eat. You want to stay away from that. Oh God. I don't remember
kinda
what I wanted.
It sucks that Juneteenth falls right in the middle of faggot month because you know
niggas is gay.
That they're mixing these things together. Well, niggas is gay, yeah. But like they're mixing these things together and there's probably niggas that don't like it. It's like you're going to have, like, Juneteenth pride flags.
Well, no one likes this pride shit. Yeah. It's all nasty. It's all disgusting. Yeah. I like the students in Massachusetts yelling about how their pronouns are USA. It's, I mean, well, I guess we'll take that for what it's worth. I mean, what are they going to do? But it's like the teachers and the LGBTQ parents are just, like, beside themselves with fear that, like, these sixth graders don't want to, you know, they're stomping on pride flags and shit. Don't want nothing to do with it. It's like, yeah.
They're seeing the pride shit. They're like,
here's the gas chamber.
It's such an interesting discourse on that. This is like, this is undemocratic. This is a threat to our democracy.
What, not liking faggots?
Like, but this looks like an expression of some sort of democratic, like, organic.
Yeah, democratic will. Kinda. Like, moral panic and torches and pitchfork type stuff is always that's always the democracy. That's what it really is.
This doesn't have the tone of a moral panic or anything like that. This is more like, well, for fuck's sake, stop shoving this shit down our throats. Oh my God.
Well, have any moral panics really been just that? Usually they were true. Like, I remember, like,
moral panic is a loaded term, right?
It means there's a societal problem that a bunch of people are awoken to and they're yelling about it, and the fucking your overlord just saying, no.
Well, they're not yelling about it, but like maybe they're just speaking about it.
Right.
But like the term moral panic is used to cast a shadow over or put some kind of, like, basically it's poisoning the well.
Right.
It's a well poisoning term so that you don't look at the thing that the public is saying on its merits. You characterize it as like a negative term, and it's like, okay, these are just, and you may like, these are just dumb, like, snake handling Bible thumpers and their stupid backwards ways. Well,
it's a way of, frankly, faggots. It's how you delegitimize like the democratic voice of the people. It's like you call what they're
right, exactly
what, the thing that it's being like put on them top down.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Bag it.
That they don't like. You just pretend that they're the ones that are wrong. It's like, no, people don't want this.
I would say this. The faggot LGBT community and their backers have absolutely no grounds on which to make fun of snake-handling rednecks. Because, like, you are, like, disease handling. Like, you're going to get bit. You're going to get bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like these fags, like, they get bit, too. You know, like, the probably the snake handlers get bit by those poisonous, venomous snakes. I would hate to be incorrect here. Those venomous snakes probably bite the snake handlers less and faggots get AIDS.
Yeah.
You are probably more likely to get AIDS as a fag than a snake handling backwoods Tennessee hillbilly is to get bitten by a venomous snake during those weird church services they do.
I know the mortality rate's higher for the venereal diseases.
I mean, yeah, I mean, when you get one of these rednecks that gets bit, like that's like you get one every couple years. You know, and sometimes they don't even die.
United States, they kill about 5 people a year.
Right, there you go. And most of them are not.
No, AIDS kills a fuckload of people every year.
Right. And most of the people are not even snake handlers. They're just someone that stumbled across a snake hiking or something like that.
Yeah, well, that also includes people who keep, like, fucking cobras in their basement or something.
That's true. People that actually keep venomous snakes, which is
so,
like, yeah, no thanks.
Realistically, faggots are a lot more dangerous than things like rattlesnakes.
Oh, by far.
Significant.
And, I mean, let's be honest. As much as I don't like snakes, I have probably some kind of a genetically based phobia of them. Like, I will admit that I have a phobia of snakes. I really don't like them. They really give me the creeps. They are God's creatures. They are part of our natural world. And I feel no reason to like murder or
destroy them.
Have
you ever had your daily activities interrupted by a rattlesnake parade, like Rattlesnake Pride Day? They don't do that.
No.
They keep to themselves out there in the woods.
They generally don't want you to. That's why they rattle. So they keep the fuck away. I mean, with snakes
they're
rattle.
Like the opposite of a faggot. They're about as inoffensive and please leave me alone as they can be.
Well, I mean, if a snake is hissing or rattling and you continue to fuck with it, like, I don't have any sympathy. Like, that snake is telling you very clearly, leave me the fuck alone. And the only issue would be if you stumble across one and you're in, like, a standoff. Then I guess you're just supposed to stay real still. I don't know what the advice is. Because you just wanted to,
I'm trying to think of the standoff, like you.
Well, like say you stumble across a rattlesnake.
Like
on a hike.
You broke into the rattlesnake's house and you're trying to rob him. Like,
I mean, if you run across, does it ever happen? I mean, is it? You were the one that was chasing that timber snake through the fucking woods to grab it. Like, I wouldn't suggest that. But you did that of your own will. Like, if you want to do that,
bitten by a snake is if you step on it.
And that's not really your
grab it or step on it.
Well, you physically grab that snake.
Right. Well, I know how to handle a snake.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
So you're snake
handling hillbilly. Just here we have our local snake handling hillbilly redneck in. No. Typical Scotsman handles snakes.
Is that a typical Scottish thing? I don't think it is. I don't think they have snakes in Scotland.
Well, didn't St. Patrick get rid of them?
Well, that was
probably.
That was a troll. That was a deliberate fucking troll.
See, where I'm originally from, that region of the world, people tend to be intoxicated, and there is one factor that you got to consider that would get you bitten by a snake, and that's being drunk. Because when you're drunk, you do dumb shit.
Yeah, I don't fuck with snakes no matter what.
That's actually, it's really funny. There's a statistic on this. Like, most of the people in the United States that are bitten by snakes tends to be like 18 to 25 and intoxicated. And they get bit in the face a lot.
Is there any interaction with the venom and the alcohol? Does it make you more susceptible to the venom or no?
So. I don't know.
Well, you want to be really drunk because
the
alcohol cancels the venom out. So you want to be really drunk when you get bit by a snake, right?
Because, you know, if you read a statistic and they're talking about somebody in that age group, they're bit in the face. You're like, no, wait a minute.
Oh, God.
How did that snake get up to your face? Mm-hmm. Was it because you were holding the snake near your face? Is that what happened? Why were you doing that?
You'll never catch me doing anything like that.
Why did you decide to hold a venomous rattlesnake near your face? Were you
a non-venomous snake? A non-venomous snake will bite you too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, they don't have the crazy retractable fangs that drip fluid.
It's the same thing with drownings. Like where I live, people will talk about, oh, that river's dangerous. And a good friend of mine is like, I have literally never known a single person who drowned in that river that wasn't completely fucking drunk.
Or black. Dude, what's funny to me is how these venomous snakes are constantly like soy facing. Like they, you know, when they bite, it's like the soy,
cotton mouths.
Oh, man.
I've got to change the name of that snake. That's racially insensitive. Cotton mouth.
They should call the puff adder the soy adder. It's just like soy faces when it bites his mouth. In fact, they literally detach their jaws so they can open their mouths for it. And soy adder.
But anyway, like I understand people having a natural aversion to things like snakes. Like I have a natural aversion to heights, but realistic, if you think about it, it makes more sense to have a strong natural aversion to faggots and trannies.
Which people do.
People do have that.
People do have that. Imagine if there was like a huge government sponsored, corporate sponsored campaign to make you like want to have snakes in your to make you like, yeah, look, if you don't have a venomous snake in your house, I wonder if they'd be able to conquer the natural. Probably not. But because there's no actual political implication of that, so it's irrelevant, right?
Well, what's funny, though, is if you saw, for example, the rattlesnake handling parade and they had, like, Rattlesnake Pride Month, a lot of people would be like, that is fucking weird. That makes me feel unsafe, right? Like,
yes,
I feel
people would say
unsafe around that. But the faggot parade should actually make you feel more unsafe.
I think it does make people feel unsafe.
Like, you should be way more scared of the faggot parade.
I mean, the fact that they now have people out there saying, like, yeah, there's going to be, like, kink, meaning, like, people engaged in, like, sexual fetish behavior, a lot of which includes
things
like
peeing on
other
people. Whatever
happened to the privacy
of, like, the privacy of your own bedroom? What happened to that?
Well, did you see the latest Stone Toss?
Yes, I did.
I was dying.
It was a drawing of the tranny with his shirt off or whatever.
But then there was, like, dog, there was, like, pup play in the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what do you care what people do in the privacy of their own bedroom?
The privacy of the White House lawn, with their.
That was funny.
With their that was the thing you guys were talking about, the flag protocol shit that these conservatives were complaining about. Like, my God, like how do you like miss?
It's
how do
so
you
impotent.
How do you swing and miss like so easily at like the easiest thing to like? Like, hey, I don't think there should be fags at the White House. Like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, that's what you really want to
say.
That
rainbow
right?
flag shouldn't be front and center like that. And they have to come back with, well, technically. The flag at the top of the building. It's like, shut up.
Like, first of all, no one won that one.
It's like, of course they won because they attacked the. They didn't attack the thing that matters. Like, I don't even care if they get the flag. If they were like, oh shit, you know what? Right, we got the flag protocol wrong. Now what?
What Why happens not just next? Say, like, I don't want that filthy, disgusting flag and what it represents on my nation's Capitol building.
Or the top surgery victims, like, running around with their scars out. Like, I don't want any of that.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
I don't want
shit.
Top
I don't
surgery.
See like, pup play. The pup play on the White House lawn used to be with the president's actual cute little fucking dog.
Right.
Remember, like, Richard Nixon and his little... Like, the president always has a dog, right? And everyone's like, oh, the dog, the presidential dog. That's the pup play. Right? But now you have, like, fetish pup play.
Yeah.
Pretty soon the president's dog is just going to be, like, somebody in a pup like a pup play costume. It's going to be, like, a person.
I have a fetish for, like, aggressively normal people doing normal things all the time.
Right.
Not even a fetish.
Like
just
these local community-based events where people play music on one boombox.
One boombox.
There's one boombox that's playing Creedence, and, you know, we're cooking.
The flag protocol is the boomer is wearing the flag as a t-shirt with, like, an edgy slogan of some sort on it. That's the flag protocol.
Yeah, with a slogan that says, fuck you, liptard.
Like, what about the fag protocol? Let's
go to cry more, liptards.
I have a problem with the fag protocol. You know, I think there needs to be something done about the fag protocol. It's like, what do we even have? Is it written up somewhere? Do we know what it is? The fag protocol is something about, you know, you gotta have the top front and center, and you have the bottom, you know, it's in the middle, but it can't be higher than the top.
I think
know?
That the fags have, like, I think they have multiple different protocols depending on how many guys.
It's versa. I mean, like the protocol is versa. You know,
it's versatile. Like, it actually is subject to change depending on, it's an ad hoc, kind of an ad hoc thing. Like, depending on the situation, you can have lots of different protocols, and
it's like a two-spirited
people take
protocol.
Different positions on these protocols, you know, you top,
have,
bottom.
You gotta have a two-spirited non-binary. Can you be two-spirited and non-binary? If you got two spirits, that's binary.
That's binary. There's only two, right? Yeah. Can you be, wouldn't it be trinary? Can I be or tertiary?
The
three spirits.
That's 15 mix. Completely different thing.
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the free fag edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
I think there's a tertiary. Like, we used to have in programming, you have like binary operators, and you even can have tertiary operators where you can have three different possibilities, but.
One law I'm going to pass is that if you run a news site, your content must be free on the internet. You cannot do a paywall. You cannot do advertising.
Hmm.
I've been trying to dig up an article like 5 minutes now. I was like, can I find a link that works? Archive seems to be...
Archive.ist. Archive.piss.
Archive barely working.
Yeah, if you're the first one to be archiving an article, it takes fucking forever. It's so annoying.
The thing I was trying to get to on the subject is there's like a nationwide trend of pride flags being stolen. You can find a lot of articles discussing how the police are investigating this. You got the FBI is involved. I'm like, yeah, that's America.
Oh, the FBI is involved.
Hmm. Yeah. America. What a shocker. This is the country where the national symbol is the pride flag. And boy, will they get mad if you do something to their pride flag.
Well, yeah, it's not even just they get mad. Shit.
Yeah, there's the stone toss. I found it.
That shit is fucking funny.
Sir, this is not a bedroom. This is the White House.
Sir, this is the most powerful building in the world, sir. This is the seat of power. From this building, like, nukes could be launched all over the planet. And we were having, you know, fetish pup play and like tranny mantits. And
where's the Independence Day when you need it? So we should do a mashup.
Yeah, literally, this is like, hey, Independence Day alien, can you just do that laser thing?
Yeah, it was really cool.
Here's a good headline: Pride flag stolen for third time from Ann Arbor Church.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we are, America. You get your pride flag stolen from the church. The church has a pride flag.
Wait, I thought the church was the bulwark against this kind of stuff. Someone has to steal the pride flag from the church? What's going on? Wait, I'm confused.
Oh, dude, pride flags. You're talking about like a... you want to talk about like a place where you're going to find it. It's going to be a church.
You mean my novelty imaginary like hidden church out in the middle of nowhere that doesn't like this stuff isn't indicative of the culture at large? Mm. Of the institution itself? I don't know. I think you're just anti-Christian. Honestly.
Yeah. There's the This is going to be interpreted. Oh. Playing that video is going to be interpreted as like a subtle threat. But no, it's okay. I hope there's not some like special thing going on.
This is back when like CGI had. Actually, it was probably a miniature, right? How did they do that? Like tasteful. Oh, I don't know. They cut it off really.
It was the 90s. They had the tech to make that look kind of cool.
Yeah. Roland Emmerich. Speaking of Roland Emmerich. The favorite, that's a favorite subject of the Red Letter Media guy. So what is this about Cheetos? Half in the bag, fool's paradise in the corporate product biopic trend.
I guess that...
You mentioned this, I hadn't heard of
it. There's a trend, I mean, I only saw the...
So this is a Cheetos movie.
Oh man, this one's way better. I got a way better copy of the Independence Day Blunt. But whatever, we don't need to play it again. But
it's Charlie Day.
I guess there's a movie about like Hot Cheetos, where the main character is Hot Cheetos.
There's that Chinese guy with the tiny wiener who always shows it, and I wonder if he shows his tiny wiener in this movie.
Wait, what?
That's that Chinese guy, that actor, that Asian
Ken
dude.
Zhang, is that him?
I guess so. He's the one that always like. Wasn't there some movie where he does like a full frontal? Like back in the. Remember when like the movie trend was like to just show dicks? Remember that?
I do.
That was like. Those were terrible
times.
Vaguely. There was a.
Like the full Monty.
As I recall, there was like. There was that movie Sideways where a dude is just chasing the main character down the street and he's just nude and it's just like. They didn't like tastefully film him running nude. Like they specifically were like, hey, look at his dick flopping around while he runs. And you're supposed to be like,
yeah.
And then there was a Kevin Smith film where you know the J guy.
Was that in Sideways?
Sideways.
Sideways is the one with like Paul Giamatti where they're like wine tasting.
Yeah, yeah. At the end, there's like a dude like just chasing one of them down the street. Unless maybe I saw that movie around the same time. I'm pretty sure Sideways had that. Like that was like one of the big gags. But then there was like that Kevin Smith movie where like the guy that plays J, you know, Snuggins, that dude, like he walks out to the refrigerator. It's like in the dead of night and he's just full frontal and then he opens the fridge and like bends over. Like I had to look away, but it was like this was the gag at the time in the aughts. It's like, oh, look at this guy's like ass crack and his like balls hanging there. There's a bunch of movies like that. That and like men's French kissing. That was like I think the South Park guy started that one in basketball. Just like dudes making out. Like didn't that happen in our buddy there that plays Borat? Was it?
Oh, he probably did all kinds of great.
Yeah, he did a big kiss scene with Will Ferrell, didn't he? Like these were the things they were doing back then. Like, oh man, look at this! Ha 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 ha! It's like, why is that funny? Why is gay shit so
funny?
There
was a scene.
If I'm not grossed out by it, if I'm not grossed out by that, why are you putting that on film as like a provocation? Well, you mean there's something to that? Am I morally panicking right now that I don't want to see that?
There was a scene in this movie by Lars von Trier, who's that Danish edgy filmmaker. He loves to do edgy stuff, called like The Idiots. And the premise of the movie, it's one of his ones which was like the Dogma 95, which was like a set of rules where you couldn't do like flashy stuff and you could only use handheld cameras. You couldn't show guns or violence or anything like that. It had to be. So the premise of this film is that there's this group of what he calls anti-bourgeois adults that live in this home, and they go out in public and they pretend to be retarded. Like, they're not retarded.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
They live in this house in somewhere in Denmark, because he's Danish, presumably he's in Denmark. And they go out to like restaurants and public places, and they pretend like they're retards in order to like shock the sensibilities of like the normal bourgeois, like Danish people. It's really stupid. And there's a woman who like leaves her, who becomes invested in this community and like leaves her husband and children to go and do this, like go and pretend to be a retard with these people. And it's fucking weird. But like, there's a scene where like they have this house where all these they're not retarded. They are pretending to be retarded. It's weird.
It's the ultimate troll. Really.
And this dude from like the town, like the whole thing this dude from the town council shows up at their house,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like trying to give them money to like move somewhere else. So he's like, we have a collection for you. We've come up with a collection for you, this home for retarded people, and we have a much nicer place for you, and it's like far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy who's like the guru of this weird like group chases him off, and he's calling him fascist. And he's yelling, fascista, fascista. And he's like ripping his clothes off. And at some point, he's like running down the street nude with like his dick flopping around, yelling like fascista. Except
that's
he
so still funny. Has, look at his dick. Ha ha.
He still has like loafers and like dark socks on. But he's got everything else off. And he's running, yelling fascista. And the people have to like, the other pretend retards have to like grab him. And he's like so upset and angry. He's just like yelling fascist, and they're grabbing. He's having a bit of a fit, and he's actually supposed to be really angry about the fact that I guess the idea here is that I couldn't find the scene on YouTube, and I don't really want to because it's like,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't
want
to see that.
But it's like, it's just one of the incidents I remember of like very obvious flopping around male genitalia in a film to try and make some kind of statement. And I'm just like, I'm going to delegitimize male bodies. I'm going to say that male bodies are inappropriate. I mean, that's kind of funny. Like, I didn't want to argue against that stupid premise.
Mm.
But it's like, you know, you're talking about how they're saying female bodies are inherently sexualized and inappropriate. Well, can you just whip your dick out? Like, the places where people don't want you showing your tits, a man can't just take out his dick.
They will
take. And the reason is, you know why you can't do it? Because it's fucking inappropriate.
Because you're a bigot.
Like, free the dick.
Because you're a snake-handling rube, probably from, like, a rural area. You live near
trees.
But
my thing is, like, that guy, you know, that tranny, also apparently thinks a dick is inappropriate because he tucks it between his legs. When he takes shots of himself in a woman's bikini, he tucks, like, why don't you just free that dick?
That's a really interesting question there. I think me and Mike have told people before this one, like, if it's a feminine penis, why are you hiding it?
Right, why are you hiding it? If a woman can have a penis, why not just have that bulge in your bikini? I mean, look, the thing
this
is...
This was the classic troll, was to be like, okay, so gender is a social construct, and you could just be a trans woman by declaring yourself to be a trans woman. Why change anything?
Well, why not just dress in like a sweatshirt and jeans? You know, why even dress like a woman?
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month. unless you're using like e-checks, then there's some extra fees because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
I enjoyed... What does it mean to dress like a woman?
Was it the show on Wednesday? Did you play the audio of that tranny like talking about like how you were... like it was saying like your objection to me being having my shirt off and showing my nipples was about like your... you're basically saying that I'm a woman. It's just like
that's not
what it is. It's like you're a freak, and we want to
see saying like allowing freeing the nipple is like saying trans women are whipping, and I'm like, I actually don't feel like arguing that honestly because it's so stupid. Like count is just what needs to happen. This person is like, no, you are a mentally disturbed person, and you need to be put in a home,
right,
away from other people where you can't harm others or yourself. You'll be given, you know, 3 meals a day, and sometimes we'll let you out for an hour a day to walk around the yard.
Probably,
and that'll be that.
You have a realistic simulacra of tits, and we don't allow tits to be displayed in public.
Were they realistic? I hadn't seen this tranny in question. Did they have the implants or something, or
this dude had some kind of tit thing going on.
Ugh.
I mean, but this is honest.
Jesse Kelly, the conservative, was like, that guy looks good, like.
It was hard to tell if he was being sarcastic or not, because it's like, Mr. Conservative, I can't tell if you mean that, or ironic or upfront. I can't tell.
Well, you can't tell that on the internet anymore. Like, I actually, with Cockrell, I have a very hard time. Is this some kind of ironic performance art, or is this guy serious? I don't know. I can't tell. It's very difficult to
tell.
Very
absurd. It's like Kaufman-esque. Yeah,
maybe the whole thing is like an absurdist kind of performance art. Like, I don't know.
It's like this is his version of Money Mouse.
Well done, I guess, you know.
Here I come to save the day.
I mean, the Holocaust is sort of absurdist performance art, if you think about it. You know?
You know, except it's political tyranny, so it's a little bit more...
Yeah.
There's a little more weight.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of that absurdist performance art and political tyranny. Like, I was talking about, like, Volodymyr Zelensky does performance art as, like, but also, like, there's a crazy amount of tyranny involved and all that shit. But he's basically, like, an actor going and doing performance art.
Oh, my God.
Around the world. He's, like, the world's highest paid busker. He goes around in his costume and has, like, his hand out for cash, and governments give him, like, millions and billions of dollars.
Oh, there's that's interesting. African official unleashes on Bill Gates and George Soros. My continent is not your giant climate laboratory.
There was a video that was shared recently where, like, the president of Uganda or something like that was out there saying that America should be putting faggots in jail, not, like, normalizing them. And it's like, look, 80 IQ nigger can see this, then really we have no excuse. I mean,
that's not how we do things in America.
It's a time to invade.
Well,
he says,
why is America doing this? He's like, if this is something wrong, I mean, I actually liked the speech. I liked he gave a little speech. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's like 40 minutes and he repeats himself like hundreds of times because that's what they do. Like, let me see if I find the video of this. It's worth watching the first minute or so. It's kind of funny. But I'm like, yeah. See, the thing is, I'm not – people say, oh, you're a white supremacist. I have no desire to colonially oppress Africans. Like, none. Zero.
Listen to this.
Like, I have zero desire oppressing Africans.
This is in the Western Journal. Westerkind wrote this article. A Nigerian
Westman
by the name of Jack Davis.
Did a Westman?
Yeah. A Nigerian scientist, and this, of course, is old news from April, has lashed out at projects backed by the likes of Bill Gates and George Soros, which are using Africa to test unproven pet theories Gates has supported technology in which particles would be spread in the atmosphere to block sunlight from reaching the surface of the planet, as noted by Forbes. In February, Soros lent his support to the project using solar geoengineering to reflect more sunlight back into space, according to Fortune. However, okay, Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery?
His name is Chuck. That's just his first name. Chukwumerije. Chuck Woolery Okekere. Okere. I can't even begin to pronounce these names. Director of the Center for Climate Change and Development at the Alex Ekwemi Federal University in Nigeria. It's a very esteemed institution. It's the Alex Ekwemi. Alex Ekwemi Federal University in Nigeria said these concepts should not be tried out using Africa as a giant petri dish.
Hey, look, I can't really argue with them on that one, yeah. To be honest with you.
He says, as a climate expert. I consider these environments.
Hey, look, he's probably an expert in African climate. Like, he knows this shit is hot and there's lots of bugs. He's like, bro, I've been living in this unbearable climate my whole life. Trust me, I'm an expert.
I consider these environmental manipulation techniques extremely risky, and as an African climate expert, I strongly object to the idea that Africa should be turned into a testing ground for their use.
Yeah, I can't blame them. I'm with the niggers on this one. Why not test it on your house, Bill Gates? Why not test it? Yeah, I don't know. I'm with the niggers.
Don't threaten them with a good time.
Anyway, I posted the link to that other video. It's funny if you want to watch that for a second. Kill a couple minutes before we go to break.
Can we get like an AI version of him eating spaghetti with Joe Biden?
Now, the mistake of some of the Western groups, and I'm glad to see these people, wonderful people like...
The Westman.
Like the ones who are here. To know that... to know that in the West, there are some still human beings. who believe in normal life. The attempt to universe, if there is a deviation from normal, if there is an abnormality, how would you seek to universalize an abnormality?
Okay, how do you seek to universalize an abnormality? Is that what he fucking, that's what he said. Right.
Yeah.
How would you
seek? Yes, that's what he said.
To establish an abnormality as an alternative way of life. There are two ways of life, the normal and the abnormal, and then you put it there. If there is an abnormality.
Today I learned to argue like an African.
Why don't you seek to treat the abnormality?
I guess I need to celebrate Juneteenth. I'm literally like, I'm an African arguer. Like, these are the things I say. Like,
I when listening to this, I thought of you. I was like, Jesse would love this. Yeah. This is what he says.
These are the kinds of things.
No, there's normal and there's not.
These are things I would say, like, on Facebook. Like, what should you do to a creature whose, like, reproductive urges are aimed at the wrong stimulus so that they don't reproduce, actually? They just...
It's not a reproductive urge. It's just a pleasure-seeking urge, but yeah.
But what do you do with a creature that, on purpose, eschews reproductive activity in place of just using that activity as a simulation of it for like, pleasure and I don't even know if you can say it's pleasure. Like, does it even know what it's doing?
I don't have any problem. I'll just say this. I don't have any problem with heterosexual people having sex purely because it's fun. That's normal.
Well, yeah, because the end goal is sort of in sight there. I'm not criticizing that.
I understand the argument. Everyone kind of intuitively understands this, right?
The abnormalities, the perversions of, like, homos is, like, that's never going to, like, like, you couldn't even accidentally create life doing what they do. Like, metric fuck tons of piss are not going to make... any new viable life form. So I
tend to try and avoid the type of arguments that you see sometimes conservatives digging themselves into a hole with, like, as if, like, literally, if you have sex without any, like, just for fun or just because you love somebody,
there's a lot of autism there that we don't need to get into.
We don't need to dive into. There's nothing wrong. Well, the thing with men and women having sex,
this homosexuality shit, it's a paraphilia. It's a fucking para. repeated.
And that's what conservatives can never bring themselves to say, which is why they get trapped in those kind of accusations. Like, I don't think anyone has ever said, like, you just shouldn't have sex for fun at all. It's usually like they get trapped into that.
Well, there are people that say that, and they're retarded. That's
well, they've usually been trolled into it by a libtard who is basically smarter than them, because, as I've said, like, conservatives are just fucking stupid.
They got,
and
they got
hamstring.
By refusing to address the issue,
they got trolled
into taking a dumbass position.
Or they have to argue the way out of that. And basically the entire discussion becomes about that. It's the same as like trying to argue that I'm not racist, but
the discussion becomes justifying normal heterosexual people having sex because they enjoy it. And like, I'm not going to bother with that. That's inherently okay. And fuck you.
And to isolate it, not spread it. So definitely there's something wrong with these groups. The leadership in the West. There must be some serious issue there.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life. And I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Some structural problem. I can't know what it is.
Structural. I know what it is. I bet you know what it is too.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's about it. From here, it's just like...
It's like a, well, there's a big... Really hold on, there's another spike over here. What is this spike? There's a, oh God. That's a nice outfit. You look good, lady.
And I'm also the chairperson of Equal Opportunities Committee at Parliament of Uganda. Your Excellency, what we are fighting right now is the promotion of homosexuality in this country. Thank you, Your Excellency.
What's with the jump cut?
See, but what I want to add is, as Africans, as Ugandans, as lawmakers, as citizens of this country, Your Excellency, no amount of pressure or intimidation from the Western world can make us follow what their practice is in their own country. Your Excellency, Uganda, right now, should be an exemplary country to other nations. And I know that we are not alone.
That's right, lady. You tell him.
She's not wrong.
She's right.
See, why can't we have black women like this in our... Well...
I'm on break.
My thing is, like, blacks, return to tradition. Go to Uganda and help them build their country. You know? But, like, again, if these literally, like, not, you know, two bright blacks in Uganda, it's like, you know, they're getting it. I'm with them. I side with them. I'm not a colonial oppressor. And frankly, the whole thing of like, you know, some people think it's like a troll of telling people when you push the faggot stuff on Uganda, you're actually being a colonial oppressor. You are. I'm not trolling. You are. Leave them alone. Leave these niggas alone.
Mm.
They don't want faggots in their country, and I'm all for it. Good for them. I have zero... I'm a fucking white supremacist and racist. I have zero intention of oppressing these people. Zero.
Yeah, I'm more
absolutely none.
I'm more concerned with the domestic oppression. Like, we're dealing with this Pride Month stuff and all this shit that's everywhere. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I'm concerned with myself being oppressed, and I want that to stop. I'm perfectly happy for black people to form their own country and say no faggots here. Good for them. I'll give them a round of applause. I'm an anti-colonialist. I'm a true anti-colonialist.
All right, well, let's take a break. Supposed to have a Merchant Minute today, but I don't see it in my inbox yet. I just checked, so hopefully Morikawa will get on that. He told me he'd have it for today. Like, he emailed me on Wednesday, like, oh, I'm not going to have it in time. I was like, good, because I'm not there. I can't do it anyway. So,
oh, okay, that's fine.
With that, I guess we'll be back. We'll be back after lunch.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la!